Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. My name is Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, best-selling author, and international speaker. My career in broadcast and digital media spans over 20 years. As past medical director for Discovery Health Channel, I've had multiple appearances on Oprah, Dr. Oz, and CNN, and my TED Talks have reached 2.5 million people. For the last several years, I've been helping other doctors, dentists, healers, and coaches from around the world to share their messages with global audiences through personal branding, publishing, online courses, and media training. And what makes this combination unique is that I am bringing my 20 years of expertise as a professional speaker and coaching other people on their TED-style talks. So I know what it takes to craft a keynote, a TED Talk, and even workshop presentations so that you communicate your message with confidence and clarity. Hello, hello, beautiful soul. Welcome to this Thursday masterclass. I'm so excited to be with you live on LinkedIn, on Facebook, and YouTube. Please type into the chat, where are you tuning in from? I would love to know. If you're tuning in for the very first time, hopefully you just saw that introduction. I'm Dr. Andrea Pennington. I am the Chief Wellness Officer for Innate Vitality and the author of Holistic Healing, the Top 10 Traits of Highly Resilient People, and the Real Self-Love Handbook, to name a few. And I'm super excited because today we are taking a deep dive into holistic healing. What does it take to really bounce back, recover, and thrive after illness, injury, setback, burnout, and breakdowns? Please do type into the chat where you're tuning in from. And yeah, let's get into it. If you happen to have questions about holistic healing, I would love to hear from you. What's up, Trevor? It's good to have you here. Good to know that you're tuning in from Vegas. And Rahima from London, good to see you back here as well. Awesome. So I want to just give you an overview of what we'll be covering today. Today is all about holistic healing. And what does that really mean anyway? Does anybody have an idea? What would you call holistic healing? What does that bring to mind when you hear me say that? I'd like to know. Tell me, what does it bring to mind for you? Anyone want to type in, chime in? I see we've got people from Minnesota, Morro Bay. Good to have you here, Callie. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. All right, so I'm going to give you my definition while you guys are typing in. My definition of holistic means whole. It means all of you, mind, body, spirit, environment, and relationships. Now, these are important for me as a medical doctor because I was trained in traditional Chinese medicine. And it's a completely different paradigm from the traditional or allopathic medicine. So here's what I mean. When I first started working with acupuncture, I was in my fourth year of medical school, and I was fortunate enough to do training at the Lincoln Hospital in the Bronx, New York, with a pioneer, Dr. Michael Smith. May he rest in peace. He was a pioneer in that he brought acupuncture to America, specifically in the treatment of drug and alcohol detox. So I learned that there was this mind-body and spirit connection early on in my medical training, and that made such a difference for me. It allowed me to recognize that what we were learning in medical school was good, but not sufficient. And what I mean specifically about that is I later did additional coursework at the Helms Institute at UCLA. And one of the things that Dr. Helms did is he laid out this biopsychosocial matrix for how we look at you and your well-being. Because you're not just dictating your biology doesn't dictate everything that happens to you. Even geneticists will tell you that your genes don't account for 100% of what happens to you. The environment plays a role in activating or deactivating certain genes. I know you've probably already heard of epigenetics, but the psychological aspect was another piece that got layered into the Chinese medical approach. And today, fortunately, people who are functional medicine practitioners, they also use this kind of framework to look at all of you, because we know that your physical well-being and your emotional well-being is impacted by all of these things. So when I say holistic, I'm talking about looking at you as a whole person, mind, body, soul, your relationships, and your environment. Many of my old VIP clients in America know that I would go to their homes to literally see what is your life like from the moment you swing your feet out of bed in the morning to the moment you get back in bed, because everything that you're exposed to can influence your health and your well-being. And this became really, really clear for me right when I opened my medical center. I was working at the Discovery Channel as their medical director, and I had right across the street this wellness center. And many people were coming because it was such a new approach, this idea of looking at you as a whole person and integrating Chinese medicine and herbs and acupuncture and integrating psychiatry and psychology along with fitness. We even had a holistic spa. So my first kind of aha moment where I realized that this holistic paradigm was really clicking for me, I had a client come in who said she needed stress management. And acupuncture works great for that. We can put in a few little acupuncture needles, bring down that, you know, sympathetic tone, as we call it, get you into the parasympathetic, rest and digest. But as I was doing her intake, I heard her say some things. Now, this might be obvious to you, but imagine, you know, when I was first becoming a doctor 20 some odd years ago, it was like, She told me that she worked in IT. She was working in a very, at that time, very male-dominated field and at a company that was very aggressive, and she had a lot of demands on her. And I asked her, what led you into the IT field, right? She happened to be quite stylish and she had this sort of flair about her, so I was curious. And she mentioned that she was pretty good in school, really good in math, her parents had never been to university, and they didn't know what to tell her. So she went to a guidance counselor while she was still in high school. And that teacher said, look, you've got good grades, you're a really good student, you should go into, you know, this technology field, because it's going to give you a secure future. And she didn't know any better. Her family couldn't advise any otherwise. So she did it. And she found herself in this very toxic environment. And that's easy to understand. She was in a high-stress environment, so it made sense that she was dealing with a lot of stress and tension in her jaws. She had upset stomach. She wasn't sleeping at night. But I asked her about what life was like when she was in high school. And she told me that she went to a performing arts high school. And I was truly intrigued at that point because I was also in the performing arts. And as she started telling me more and more about what she did when she was a teenager, her whole face lit up as she was telling about the productions and the things that she created. And I was like, and so why are you in this IT field and not doing something with your creative passions? To me, it was very clear. The more that she talked about the arts and she lit up, and the more that she talked about the IT, I could see her contracting into this stress ball. And that was the first time in doing the intake according to the Chinese medical protocol that I realized she's not just your typical person you need to give some Valium and teach them relaxation techniques. She needed to shift what she was doing in the world, how she was showing up in the world. And sure enough, I gave her the prescription to just spend the weekend doing things that she loved, any creative project that she wanted to do, not to share with the world, not to create for consumption, but just to create for herself. And you know, the next time that I saw her, her symptoms had almost vanished. And she came in a little bit perplexed. She was bouncy. She was bubbly. She was like, what am I going to do now? Now that I realize that I'm really in the wrong career, what am I going to do? So she ended up switching everything. And since I moved to France, I happened to see a posting on Facebook. She was interviewed and featured in the Washington Post and started a business completely unrelated to IT. And she's thriving. So I wonder if you know of any stress-related illness in you that might be linked to you not living your truth. Anyone out there? So that's what we mean when we talk about holistic. We mean looking at you as a whole person. Now, as you'll find in these books here, Holistic Healing and the Top 10 Traits of Highly Resilient People, we know that diagnosing whatever your illness or your disease is, that's important. We need to get the diagnosis right. But equally important, we need to know where it came from. In other words, we need to know its origin. Fortunately, over the last 20 years, there's been a lot of peer-reviewed journals that have featured studies that explain and prove that this mind-body connection is real. So it used to be that people would say, oh, that's just all in your head. Well, it might be in your head, and in your muscles, and in your bones, and in your cells, okay? So what this means is we as physicians now are looking back over your life to see, particularly for those of you who've been in these masterclasses, you know that I've been talking about adverse childhood experiences. These are these traumatic or toxic, stressful experiences that if we've had them before the age of 18, they can tweak the nervous system, the immune system, the cardiovascular system, and even impact our DNA to lead to illnesses in adulthood that started in childhood. So why is that important? Why is it important to know where it started? Well, what I've discovered in the last 15 years in doing trauma recovery work with people with addictions and eating disorders and survivors of all sorts of abuse, the deal is this. If you experienced toxic stress in your life or some sort of adverse childhood experience, trauma, abuse, neglect, witnessing violence from someone else, or extreme loss, and this also includes things like discrimination, racism, surviving a natural disaster. If you've experienced those, if you didn't have the buffering, compassionate adult presence to buffer that toxic stress, then you may have a long laundry list of illnesses. I've shared them here before. Everything from allergies, asthma, arthritis, autoimmune conditions, behavioral health problems such as addiction, binge eating disorder, depression, anxiety, PTSD, the list goes on and on. But it includes things like cancer and Alzheimer's. It includes things like lung disease and obesity and diabetes. And so even though we have effective treatments for some of those adult illnesses, those treatments are not 100% effective if you're still carrying this toxic energy, this toxic charge, meaning if your nervous system is still on hyper alert, we can give you all the insulin or the oral hypoglycemics in the world. and you will still be a little more reactive than other people. You may still find yourself eating the wrong foods or going down the wrong pathways in your healing process. Does this make sense? Making sense to you? All right, Rahima, so you've tried acupuncture for underactive thyroid and chronic fatigue and migraines. So yeah, acupuncture works wonders for hormonal challenges as well as chronic pain. I think the majority of clinical studies that have compared acupuncture to drug treatment and no treatment, acupuncture performs really, really high for chronic pain. So I'm not surprised about that. So one of the things that you'll read, if you happen to read the top 10 traits of highly resilient people, there is a beautiful author from Norway, Gerd Stotlen, who shares a story in the book of how she experienced challenges in her adult relationships that confused her for most of her adult life. And I mean, this is a woman who's done all sorts of coaching. She was a great teacher. She's learned all these mind-body techniques. But she happened to have a conversation with her daughter. And when her daughter turned to leave and they said goodbye, in a flash, she remembered seeing the back of her father as he left her in the hospital. So when she was just a toddler, she had a health problem where she had to be left in the hospital, and they lived further away and had other kids to take care of. And here she is, sort of pre-verbal, but what got encoded into her mind, into her subconscious, was this person's back, her father's back, and then being left there. So we know that if you've experienced abandonment or neglect, and that isn't always just about abuse, I mean, you might have had a parent who was in the hospital or you were in the hospital, that creates an encoded memory that, in Gerd's case, it led her to multiple relationship challenges. She would get triggered. So you can read more about it, and you can also watch an interview that I did with her. Just go to innatevitality.com or my YouTube channel. But when she had this realization on the psychological level of that sense of abandonment, and then she went and she did this energetic healing to heal that abandonment wound, that was when she had a major resolution of her health challenges, including the emotional things. Is this making sense to you all? Yes? Hopefully yes. And yes, you got it exactly right, Kali. Holistic is all levels, physical, spiritual, and emotional. And so this is important to me because when I had this wellness center, people were being referred from all around the country, and they always wanted to, you know, some sort of magical treatment. And I can't tell you how many people got frustrated that I was asking them about their past and asking them about their childhood. They're like, I'm not trying to blame my parents. It's not about blame. This is not about blame. For those of you who've seen my TED Talk, yes, I mentioned the influence of my mother and my father, but not about blame. It's to help you understand that what happens to you in those formative years, before your ego is formed, before your brain is fully formed, can actually impact your physical and emotional health and your relationships. And in the book Holistic Healing, you'll read a story by one of our authors, Margot Livingston. She is from the UK, currently living in Spain, living her best life. And she and her sister endured a really traumatic loss as children. They had moved to Africa and her father died suddenly. It's not like he had been sick, he just suddenly died. And her mom, all by herself, realized she needed to move back to the UK to get support. And they left behind their dog, the country that she had come to love, and her home. And when you read Holistic Healing, you'll hear that the impact that that had, that loss, which is clearly an adverse childhood experience, it impacted both Margot and her sister differently. And I won't spoil it. You can read the book or watch the interview. But when she also started to really pick apart why she had the health challenges she did, she could easily recognize that they started in childhood. And so what I found is that healing, true healing and recovery, generally requires more than just medicine. And in my experience, true healing requires more than just talking to a therapist. I can't tell you how many thousands of people I heard in my wellness practice say that they had been to a therapist. They had been in therapy for years and years and years, and they were still carrying this toxic burden and this traumatic memory. Working in the wellness center is what led me to learn and explore a bunch of different healing modalities, mainly because my patients needed it. So besides acupuncture and Chinese medicine and herbs, we did have talk therapy. We had psychotherapy as well. We did cognitive behavioral therapy. But once I started adding in meditation and narrative therapy, which is life writing, journaling to really gain perspective, then we brought in other practitioners, everything from craniosacral. We had we sponsored someone from China who practices Tui Na, which is this very deep release type of, you could call it massage, but it's a very deep therapeutic process. We also had hypnotherapy, NLP, somatic experiencing. I first got introduced to Peter Levine's work back in 2004 when one of our practitioners said, look, we need to add in this somatic component. And so what we're talking about there is the body. So many of you have already heard of or read Dr. Bessel van der Kolk's book, The Body Keeps the Score. It is true that when we have a traumatic experience, the body records that. It's in our brain, it's in our tissues, it's in our muscles, it's in us. And you will see that some of our physical illnesses are tied to stress in the past. And for many people, if you experienced a trauma and you didn't get to process it either with a compassionate caregiver or in your body, then it stays locked in the body. And what Peter Levine's work has shown, along with many others, there are other great somatic practitioners out there, also informed by the work of Stephen Porges with the polyvagal theory, we know that the way that the nervous system works is we go through a stress response and we usually come down. We shake it off. We discharge that toxic, stressful energy. But if you did not have the opportunity to work through or complete the stress cycle, as we call it, then you may find that you get triggered and that things are lingering in your body. So yes, I love your name, Mango Smoothie. We are talking about physical illnesses as well. So I gave the example recently of someone who came into our practice saying, oh, every woman over 40 in our family gets arthritis, like clockwork. And so just as she was approaching 40, this patient started showing signs of arthritis. But it is not a genetic certainty just because it runs in the family. We have this cognitive aspect, our beliefs, our narrative, what we believe that we're worthy of and what we deserve can impact our physical health. So it's part of this epigenetics is part of the environment, like what we're exposed to, what is modeled to us, but it's also about our cognition. And cognitive behavioral therapy is a wonderful first line treatment for a lot of like psychological illnesses. But what I found is when things are locked in the body, that means they're locked in the subconscious mind. And so for me, when I am working with someone, no matter what the situation is, we're looking at this from a holistic standpoint. And you can see the exact process in the Real Self-Love Handbook. I'm going to share with you the five-step framework that's in that book that is a holistic framework for healing physical and emotional challenges, but also for building resilience. So if you have felt like you're kind of cruising along, you're at a decent level of health, but you want to skyrocket and be even more resilient, this five-step process can do that. So I'm going to share the screen in just a moment. All right, so Almena asks, I hear discussions about growth versus healing, and I wonder if this is tied to holistic healing, that framework, versus standalone modalities. Yeah, well, growth, let's just look at growth in terms of how we think of it with trauma. We might go through a stressful period, and that could be stress because we're training hard, maybe you're working out, and you grow as a result of it. You may go through a stressful period at work or defending your thesis at school, enduring a pandemic. You might get through it, and because of what you went through, you might actually grow. So rather than withering away with post-traumatic stress disorder or anxiety or depression, you might actually grow from that. When we're talking about healing, though, we're talking about a resolution of that health crisis. And sometimes you may have a health crisis that you cannot fully heal, but you can still grow despite having it. And that we talk about that in the top 10 traits of highly resilient people, because one of the top traits of resilience is purpose and meaning in life. And it's no surprise that some people, when they go through a challenge, including a physical or emotional health challenge, they find that they have to draw meaning from that experience. And their life takes on a whole new significance. And that is one of the six characteristics of post-traumatic growth. So let me share with you this healing modality so that you can get a sense for what we're talking about. As I mentioned, it's included in my book, The Real Self-Love Handbook, and it's a holistic framework that basically outlines how you can build resilience, truly heal from trauma or physical illness, and nurture real self-love. The five-step process starts off with awareness, and I'll give you some of what's in the book so that you can get started today on this. Acceptance, no surprise that we have to accept where we are if we're actually going to heal. Accountability, inspired action, and appreciation. These are the five steps of the cornerstone process. Now, in the book, you'll see that I break it down into three phases, and this is based on 20 years of working with clients. Once we really stabilized people, we could see them naturally go through these three phases of renewal. The first phase is awaken. The first step of the cornerstone process is about awareness. And yes, mango smoothie, you really can heal from physical illness with these steps. I have seen it personally. I'll share some other stories of people who've done that in my clinical practice. So the first step of the cornerstone process is awareness. And this is about learning who you really are. So when we're talking about self-love, many of us, myself included, we don't always walk around knowing who we really are. We know who we pretend to be, and that can also lead to illness. But awareness, if you go to a regular doctor, when you're talking to a regular doctor, they're going to ask you a few key questions. So for me, what we want to be aware of in step one is what is influencing your vitality right now. So that includes things that have been programmed or predestined, meaning we're going to look at your genetic and your family history. Of course, if you're adopted, this makes it a little more difficult. But if you know your family of origin, a doctor is going to ask you, what diseases run in the family? You know, but you can also do this for yourself to become sort of your own detective, understanding where things came from. Every doctor will draw labs on you. I was just talking to my doctor, Dr. Jill Stocker of the Intentional Wellness Institute. She takes care of me. We go through your physical health. We go through your labs because they're an indicator. Now, granted, Dr. Jill and I both practice age management medicine, which is really about optimizing you for the longest health span and lifespan as possible. But your typical doctor is just going to be looking at labs to see if you fall within the normal range. I could get into that in another conversation with Jill, but this is what your regular doctor will look at. And of course, functional medicine doctors take it even further. And a good doctor will look at your lifestyle habits. But you yourself, you know these things. And I'm not telling you some of the things that you don't already know, but I'm emphasizing it because many of us walk around in denial. We say, oh yeah, I know I should eat better. I know I should go for a walk more often. I know I should turn off the screen. Like, I know I shouldn't be eating refined carbohydrates and sugar. But you have to get out of that denial at some point, and it might be with an integrative doctor or a holistic doctor. When we get into the psychology side of things, studies show that people who are more optimistic have better health outcomes, including the Dutch men's study that showed that men who were more optimistic had better health outcomes. And the women's health study also found that as well. So coming soon, you'll be able to take a quiz based on the top 10 traits of highly resilient people. So stay on the lookout for this. The resilience quiz is coming soon. You'll actually be able to become aware of some of the influences, these personality traits, these psychological states of mind that might be leading your biology to be more susceptible to illness and to perpetuate disease. It is real and true. So stay tuned for this quiz. It will be out this month. I'm super excited to bring that to you. So we're going to look at optimism and pessimism, and optimism happens to be one of the top 10 traits of highly resilient people. For those of you who are part of my Real Self-Love movement, you've heard me talk about the shoulds, and if you've read the book in the Real Self-Love Handbook, I ask you to go through a sort of mental diet and find out how often you are shoulding on yourself. Becoming aware of the limiting beliefs, the programming that you carry around, is important in understanding how your body may be more susceptible to illness and how it may not respond or react to medical treatments. So, and this includes religious beliefs, believe it or not. So, what can you do to really see the difference between who you've been programmed to be versus who you really are? Well, I call this uncovering your spiritual DNA. And the first step I recommend for everyone, whether you are a wellness client or you're one of my branding clients, you go to your good old internet, type in thevitalitytest.com, and you will be able to take a free questionnaire developed by a good friend and colleague, Nick Haynes, from the Five Institute in the UK. The Vitality Test will tell you which of the five elements, so wood, water, earth, fire, metal, each of these elements impact you in different ways. And your signature profile can tell you what you're naturally brilliant in and where you may be a little susceptible to illness, stress, or even burnout. So take the Vitality Test. It's totally free. Nick is brilliant at offering insights to help you understand your energy and how that influences your health. So getting out of the blind zone is what you absolutely need. So the other thing that we can do on a psychological level is to take the Values in Action survey. This was developed under the guides of Chris Peterson and Martin Seligman, the good people at the Positive Psychology World up in the United States. But the VIA survey is a free survey, again, that you can do to find out what your top character strengths are. These character traits are the things that influence you and your personality. And again, I'm going to share more about the studies. For example, Carol Riff, since the 80s, has been doing a study called MIDAS. It's midlife in the U.S. And they've looked at thousands of people's case histories in the U.S. and in Japan to see what really leads to health and vitality. And coming up with, she's identified six traits that make up psychological well-being. And you'll be able to get this again from the resilience quiz that we're offering. But what you find is that the things that also impact our health are psychological well-being traits. And so when you take the VIA, it's going to tell you what your signature strengths are. And when you do any of my free trainings or the life writing course or our upcoming hero course, which I've just got to tell you about soon, you'll find that you can build upon these strengths. And that's what we're doing with this resilience work. We're helping you build up these strengths that can literally impact your immune system and your nervous system to make you more resilient and stress resistant. And yes, Almina, the awareness step is about information gathering. And some doctors will do this, but most doctors don't have as much time as, you know, I or Jill will spend with our patients. So it's up to you to do this good work in advance. And you can start to tie the dots together, connect the dots in your own life. And also looking at your limiting beliefs. If you have taken any of my free trainings, like how to escape victim mentality or the three keys to become the hero of your life, these include some of the coursework from Stories with Soul and the Hero course, which is coming this September. These are free writing workshops with guided meditations that will help you identify the limiting beliefs as well as their source and start reprogramming them. And yes, I have found that people who have worked this way to identify where their illness started, where they became susceptible, they've actually been able to free themselves, to decrease the amount of medications they're taking, decrease the amount of times they're in hospital, for example. And that work has also been proven in over 200 studies from people like James Pennebaker, who initiated a lot of the narrative therapy work that I'm doing today. Also included in the Real Self-Love Handbook is values. It's really important for you to know your values so that you can start to live by them and create healthier boundaries. Because if you look at the number one causes of burnout, it's from overgiving. It's not just overworking, it's overgiving. And the best way for you to create new boundaries and live more authentically is to know your values. So you can find these free workshops if you go to AndreaPennington.com. You'll see some videos, you'll see links to join these free mini classes. And you'll also see on AndreaPennington.com that you can create your own personal success mantra. This is, again, just a little snippet of how you can influence your brain and your cognition to influence your health and your sense of confidence. And one of the things we do in the free training, the three keys to become the hero of your life, is we help you to identify a peak experience and flow triggers. And what that means is there are actually states of being, we call it the flow state, where if you can get into the flow state more often, the flow state is described as being one with a task or one with all that is, where you lose track of that ego and that inner dialogue, that sort of inner critic. You become one with the task. So it could be you're playing sports or you're playing music or you're gardening. It could be that you're dancing. It could be in a moment of intimacy. But these moments of bliss and flow, for me, they come from definitely from out being in nature, from exercise, singing, listening to music, meditation. The more often you get into the flow state, we know that that influences your vagal tone. Vagal tone is just a fancy way of talking about heart rate variability. So normally our hearts beat at a very regular pace, but when you learn to get into flow through meditation, yoga, chanting, sports, other creative pursuits, you'll notice that there's a little more space between your heartbeats. And that variability is what we call vagal tone. It's influenced by the 10th cranial nerve, which is called the vagus nerve. I know, probably too much science for you. But being in that flow state can improve your vagal tone, which improves your stress tolerance. It gets you out of the stress response faster. So if you happen to have an autoimmune condition, like I can't tell you the number of people with asthma and skin conditions and arthritis and irritable bowel and colitis, when they learn these holistic techniques, they find that their autoimmune conditions totally chill out, such that they don't need as much medication or they can get off of it with their doctor's advice. So yes, is this all making sense to you? So In the second phase of the cornerstone process, this is when we move into transformation. Transformation comes when we love who we really are. And so to get there, we go through two steps, acceptance and accountability. So let's talk about these. When we're talking about acceptance and accountability, our aim here is to start replacing those old programs. So I've brought up these ideas that our family of origin and our childhood upbringing can influence us and put us at a higher risk for illness. In my case, I ended up with depression and lived with anxiety for many, many years. And a lot of people, a couple of comments on my TED Talk when I came out with it said, oh, you're blaming your parents for your depression. And that's not it at all. We have to get to a point where we recognize what the influences are. That was back in step one. But we come to a moment of acceptance where we are no longer blaming. We're no longer blaming our parents or the economy or the president or the tsunami or the weather or COVID. We come to a moment where we transition into accountability. And that's where we say, this is now my opportunity to replace any of the faulty thinking and those lifestyle behaviors and habits and programs that you may have picked up to cope with life, and you become accountable for your future going forward. This involves forgiving the past. So it may sound strange, but I remember here on the Riviera, I met someone who had held resentment for her ex-husband so intensely. And she knew. She told me when I gave her acupuncture, she told me she knew where her pains were coming from. She knew that it was because she was still stuck with this resentment. And we worked through the forgiveness, forgiving the past. That doesn't mean that you excuse people for terrible behavior, especially if there's abuse. But you have to get to a point where you let go of your toxic attachment to wanting vengeance, to proving them wrong, or blame. It doesn't excuse them from what they did, but you excuse yourself from holding on to it. So part of this is forgiving the past, becoming mindful of the present. So if you've heard me talking about the attunement meditation process, it's a 5-step mindfulness meditation process that's also in the book. And it's free online. We're also on Insight Timer. You can learn how to become more mindful of the present, forgiving of the past, and tuning into the compassion for where you are right now. This is really powerful work. And even though it may sound very simple, I've seen huge turnarounds. And then that accountability is also about recognizing that you are responsible for your future. So going forward, when we get to that acceptance, one of the most important things is to detox. Like for most of us, we have lived with toxic lifestyles. We have lived with the burden of our past and all of these unhealthy coping strategies, the drinking, the eating, the sexing, the whatever you're doing that keeps your body and brain in the stress response. And so we have to detoxify. And so the detoxification could come from an alkaline diet. I highly recommend that you get off of refined carbohydrates, that's sugar, bread, rice, white pastas. Get into more of a plant-based diet. You can do this with the guidance of your physician. You can very well do this and remain healthy. But getting off of the things that would spike up your sugar level, which then leads to a spike in insulin, which leads to inflammation rolling around in the body. So we want to detox from that, getting you hydrated, making sure that you're sleeping 7 to 9 hours a night. That's why you'll see me with this thing. It's not for looks. It's the Aura ring. I wear it to monitor my activity and my sleep patterns at night. The more that I've been focused on my sleep hygiene, I was talking with one of our beautiful authors, Joyce Wazir Ali, whose book is coming out soon, and she said, I see you everywhere. Like, how do you have the energy? You must be working nonstop. And I don't. I do not work nonstop. I only work a few days a week. And I rejuvenate myself with sleep and I track it. Okay, but I'm a little bit of a nerd. I like to track these things. But you can do this for yourself. Start focusing on these basic detox methodologies. And exercise does not have to be going to a gym or getting into funny yoga positions. It can be as simple as walking. One of the things that I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show. The first time I was on, my mother flew with me to Chicago. And the guy that was, this was actually the second appearance on Oprah. Anyway, you don't care. But there was a guy on the show with us who was, I think, close to 350 pounds. He was starting to show signs of clogged arteries in his legs, and he had diabetes. And when I told him on the Oprah show that he needed to do more exercise, he admitted that he was ashamed. He didn't want to be seen in public. And on the limo ride back to the hotel, my mom, who also worked with me in my wellness center, just started counseling him and finding out what he was eating, because we didn't get to go through everything on the show. And one of the things he was eating like two or three times a day was a banana, because he heard, oh, it's got potassium and it's good for muscle cramps. And my mom was like, no, bananas are a high glycemic food. If you eat them on their own without some other protein or good fats, you're going to spike up your sugar level, which spikes up your insulin and keeps your diabetes out of control. And she said, what I want you to do is, if you are too embarrassed to leave the house and exercise, then you're going to walk from the front door to the back door, from the front door to the back door. And his wife was like listening intently, like hoping that something was going to sink in. And just a few months after that appearance on the show, I got an email from his wife saying that he'd lost 50 pounds and he was feeling so much better. So I know that these are going to sound so frickin' basic, but if you would apply them and really start tuning into your own reason for living, you will find that they help. I also practice Qigong. It's how I keep my energy up. It's how I tune into universal energy for healing others. That's another discussion, but also deep breathing. Now, if we're talking about the heart and soul level, deep breathing is a way to kind of connect with your inner child, connect with the divine within you. I highly recommend mindfulness practices. You can download my free meditations at andreapennington.com or on Insight Timer, and you can get into what we call this heart-brain coherence. I'm hosting an event here in the south of France this October where you can actually come and get hooked up so we can do some heart rate variability training and hook up EEG sensors on your brain to see how you can get into this coherent state, coherence in the heart as well as coherence between the hemispheres of your brain. Practicing self-compassion, practicing forgiveness, those are other things that we do every month in the Real Self-Love Live. So on the second Tuesday of the month, that's next Tuesday, I lead a live coaching session on Zoom. It's private. It's not broadcast to the world. You can ask me questions. I do some teaching, and then I lead you in guided meditations so that you can experience this attunement meditation for compassion and forgiveness. It's super helpful for getting out of the stress response, particularly for people who have complex PTSD or you're still recovering from childhood trauma. And then we talk about the emotions and the aura. Only an integrative doctor would be talking to you about the aura, right? So our emotions impact healing. So I've shared with you a little bit the work of James Pennebaker, narrative therapy. He found that when people would do writing for 4 days in a row, and on the fifth day process what they've written about a traumatic or a low point in their lives, they had better health outcomes. So there's, I shared this before, there's over 200 studies that have shown that this works. Compassionate mind training, meaning you start to build a compassion figure within your mind to nurture and soothe you, or you just become your own inner loving parent. You can also do inner child work. Now, some people will do things like meridian tapping or EFT or TFT, that's thought field therapy or emotional freedom technique. So you've seen these videos of people tapping, and sometimes they're saying an affirmation. Within the Real Self-Love movement, I have recorded an interview with a TFT expert, Bita Visa, who is the author of Quantum Leaps for Leaders. And she teaches us how to use meridian tapping to change the field or our aura. So those are resources that will help you as well. And Almina, if you go to my website, andreapennington.com, I have a whole post about the type of Qigong that I practice, which is called Jineng Qigong, and you'll find that that might inspire you as well. There's a video as well. All right, so we've just got 10 minutes left, so I better pick up the pace here. So when we move into this accountability phase, I really believe in making your health plan visible. So whether you're working with a doctor or a coach or a therapist, like create a plan and make it visible. Put it on the refrigerator or on your computer or on the wall. What are you going to do that's going to move you towards your goal? And that may be find a functional medicine practitioner, go and get those labs drawn, you know, whatever it is. Find a partner. If you join the Real Self Love movement, you'll see that every month we have people, we have a private Facebook group. You can partner up with people who can hold space as you're healing. Practice the basic health and basic self-care. Visualization, it's not just for Olympic athletes and, you know, NBA stars. We know that the more that you are visualizing healing processes in your body or visualizing and meditating on your future as the healthier version of you, that is taking back control, taking away the control that you gave away to people and medicines and paradigms and reclaiming that control for yourself. Also, I've mentioned this in the Real Self Love Handbook. There is the Real Self Love Manifesto, which you can download. It has a bunch of success mantras that can help you in being accountable. And then also tracking, how are you doing with expressing your authentic self and not giving in to the pressures that may have led you to conform, to overwork, to not take care of yourself. All right, so when we look at this final phase, what we're talking about is thriving. And if you really want to live who you really are, live with this sense of vitality, this requires inspired action and appreciation. So from inspired action, what I'm talking about is you don't take action unless it is inspired. And I always love to talk about inspiration, what I learned from listening to Wayne Dyer. Inspiration is drawn from this the root word, inspiritus. Inspiritus. We are inspired with this divine spark. So many of us find ourselves being active and overactive, trying to look busy, trying to do stuff. And it's not inspired action. It's compulsive. And so if you wanted to really thrive, we're talking about taking inspired action. So this means you're going to learn how to manage your energy and emotions. When you go through the Real Self-Love Handbook, you'll see that there are techniques and tips on how to manage your energy and emotions. And we do this every month in the Real Self Love Live. Getting past the programmed thoughts and beliefs, again, you can find the Escaping Victim Mentality mini course on my website and the 3 Keys to Become the Hero of Your Life. Both of these are designed to help you reprogram the thoughts and the beliefs and the fears that might be affecting you. The attunement meditation is also online, totally for free. Every year I do a life goal and a diamond life design program. I don't have the time to tell you all about it, but what we're talking about is you becoming the conscious architect of your life through inspired action in alignment with your values. That study that I mentioned before, the Midas study, where Carol Riff has been looking at huge populations of Americans and other countries, people who have a sense of meaning and purpose in life, people who have a sense of agency, meaning they feel like I am in control. I can't control everything with the pandemic or the economy, but when you have control over yourself, or what we call agency, the higher your level of agency, the more likely you are to live better and live longer. And so that's what inspired action is about. It's about reclaiming your authority as the master of your life. And for those of you that might be challenged with food, if food happens to be the thing that you comfort with, then you can check out the Emotional Freedom Formula by our dear friend Helena Philipsen in Denmark. And she's got a 99-cent ebook on the Emotional Freedom Formula on Amazon, which we're very happy to have published for her. And the final step is appreciation. So no matter what you're doing, whether that's with a therapist, a doctor, a functional medicine coach, the idea here is to live in an attitude of gratitude and appreciation. I highly recommend that you journal every day, maybe even twice a day, to write down the things that you're truly grateful for and that you appreciate. I did an interview with Dr. Loretta Brunning, who is the author of The Science of Positivity. She is the founder of the Inner Mammal Institute. Really, really fascinating interview with her. Her books are awesome. She talks about gratitude practice, and she warns us that you can't just write the same thing every day, like, oh, I'm so happy I have a roof over my head. You need to find new things to appreciate in order to get the boost of the happy brain chemicals that can improve your health and well-being. So check out her work or check out our interview on YouTube. She's also recently released a book called 14 Days of Happiness to Happiness, but I highly recommend her work, particularly if you want to know how to control your own brain chemistry. Random acts of kindness, doing something nice for someone else, being in service to someone else or to humanity or the planet. It may sound strange, but there is an impact on our physiology and our well-being when we are in service to others. And that is another key element that people find when they get into post-traumatic growth. They feel like whatever meaning they're drawing from the adversity or their challenge, they want to serve others. And when you do that through like a random act of kindness or support, you get health benefits out of that. Or you can embark on a 21-day gratitude experiment. Sound like fun, right? You'll also notice in the top 10 traits of highly resilient people, in that book, we list positive connections. Positive social connections are a top trait of the most resilient people, because if you lean in and lean on other people who are positive, not people who are just going to, you know, badmouth and guilt trip you, you can actually get a health benefit. Studies have shown that when people are surveyed, if they do not have people that they rely on or that they could call at 3 a.m. if something went wrong, they have poor health outcomes. So live in gratitude, connect with people who are positive, celebrate any sort of new success that you can, and appreciate that. It makes a big difference. So I've mentioned this several times. The Real Self-Love movement includes live coaching from me every month, totally free. There are guided meditations that you can download. There's the Real Self-Love Manifesto. I do interviews with other people. And yes, Chef, I'm so glad that you enjoy and that you're grateful for these monthly meetings. And I do live masterclasses with other therapists and coaches to just help you take this information on and actually put it into practice. So that was a lot of material. I hope that this has been helpful for you to get a sense of things that you can actually do to improve your health and your well-being. There is a lot that you can do in conjunction with being in therapy or working with a doctor. Now, I've mentioned it before. If you are curious to know how your childhood may have impacted you and led to adult disease, then take the quiz. It's at innatevitality.com. I think you might find it through my other website, but innatevitality.com. You can take the ACE quiz. The ACE quiz will tell you what your ACE score is. The higher your score, the more likely you are to be living with health challenges. And the other free quiz that is coming this month is the resilience quiz. This is going to tell you how resilient you are. You'll get an overall score of what your resilience score is now based on the top 10 traits of highly resilient people. And you'll find out for each of these 10 traits where you rank and I'm giving you specific tips on how to improve them. Then if you'd like to join me for a 12-week resilience bootcamp, that is coming in June as well. And the last thing I'll tell you about that I'm so proud of, and so many of the people who are here have experienced my teaching in a program called Stories with Soul, I'm expanding it and launching the Hero Course this fall. The Hero Course includes me walking you step by step through the cornerstone process. It includes all of the life writing things that I told you about to get in and find out what's going on in the subconscious mind. It's in a safe, secure group setting so that you can share with other people, get inspired, and heal in community. And it also includes the guided meditations that will help you rewire your brain, reprogram your mind, and reclaim your authority of life in life. And this will help you become the hero of your life. So I'm super excited about this. I can't wait for you all to see it. The Hero Course is a 12-month membership that will be super low priced. Everyone can take advantage of it and get my support on an ongoing basis. So thank you for all of your kind comments. I'm so grateful to know that this was helpful to you. I know it's a lot of material to take in, so feel free to email me. If you signed up for this masterclass, you will get an email with a link for the replay. And if you signed up and you have my email, you can ask me. I saw a couple of you want to get a copy of the slides. I'm happy to give you that if you shoot me an email. So thank you so much for being here, my friends. Please know this, you are a gift to the world. So share your presence with passion. Until we meet again, I'm sending you much love from the sunny south of France. Bye. Listening to the Innate Vitality Code podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.